Old Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now with great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. If you, a friend, or a family member would like more information, go to the website, GogginCole.com. Coming up at 5:35, Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline talking NFL Combine, NFL Free Agency, the Collective Bargaining Agreement. Is it going to be a 17-game regular season starting in 2021? The list goes on and on and on with all the different questions. We'll get more insights a little bit later on with him. Right now, a chance to talk some Vanderbilt and more with Adam Sparks. He covers the Commodores for the Tennessee. And Adam, thank you as always. Hope your week has been stellar so far, and welcome back to the show.
It's been a busy week. How are we doing today?
Good, good, good. Hey, let's start on a positive note. How about the facts so far? You know, I'm always interested when we visit with Tim Corbin every Monday, especially early on in a new season, because you literally, you know, you have expectations. You think you know what your team is going to be able to do early on and maybe establish itself a certain identity, but you never know until the games start playing out. Look, how about this outstanding pitching? We thought the pitching was going to be good. So far, 10 games in, Vanderbilt 8-2 on the year. 9 of the 10 starts as far as the starting pitching, quality starts. I mean, amazing job so far in not just the veterans, but also some freshmen as well. Incredible start for Vanderbilt with regards to their pitching staff.
Yeah, and a lot of those were shutouts. You know, this is the thing about when you're the defending national champion is that everything that you look at through the prism of getting back to Omaha. So, you know, that's just the reality of it, whether you return all your players or only part, like Vandy, and that's the case for them. So you look at the pitching staff and say, is this a pitching staff that can get back to Omaha, that can get to College World Series? To this point, I'd say it absolutely is. Can the lineup? I don't know. Jury's still out, and they're still trying to figure out how to put some pieces together. There's still a couple players that haven't gotten the lineup that will pretty soon. Dominic Keegan among them. But yeah, the early returns on the pitching staff bodes pretty well for going deep into the postseason. We're a long way from that, but if you can trot out Mason Hickman and then Kumar Rocker. And Jake Eater, who was shaky in the first start, and he was very good in the second start, if he can pitch more like he did in the second start, then you can count on him. And then you've got Jack Leiter, and then you've got Ethan Smith, who has a couple of shutouts now. You know, those are five guys you can trot out, most of them to start, some of them to be in long relief, if you're talking about a super regional or maybe even a regional. And then you still got Tyler Brown coming out of the bullpen, and Eric Kaiser, who – I think struck out, what, all six guys that he faced last night. Yeah, I mean, you've got a staff that's going to beat just about anybody else in the country, and that bodes well for the postseason, regardless of how well you hit.
I mean, you're averaging 4 strikeouts, it seems like, for every three innings. I mean, the pitching staff so far this year, 128 strikeouts and 89 and two-thirds innings. And the best part about it is the strikeouts – to walk ratio, 128 strikeouts, only 31 walks, better than a 4-1 ratio. That will get the job done every day of the week.
Yeah, and you know, that kind of brings us to the next level in this thing. You know, so far they've beaten very mediocre teams. I mean, that's for the most part, and that's what's on your schedule early on. Evansville and University of Illinois Chicago and South Alabama. These are not SEC caliber teams, so those are coming. The SEC schedule will open in not too long. Next weekend they'll have that LA trip, which is going to be really SEC caliber and then some. UCLA, I think USC, and maybe TCU. You're facing national title contenders. You're facing top 10 teams. So we'll see how that goes. You know, Hickman and Rocker have been almost untouchable so far, but you want to see them against a really, really good lineup. I have no doubt that they're going to pitch well against most teams, but there's a difference between knowing that you can win a game 4-1 and knowing that you're going to have to score 7-8 runs to beat somebody. And there's going to be more of that latter category in the SEC. They pitched great so far. They've hit okay. Then now you got the next challenge, and that's conference play.
You know, speaking of that part, I get the feeling that this team will have a lot of extra base hits as far as doubles, maybe even triples. I don't think we're going to come anywhere close to the home run power and numbers that we saw last year. What about you?
No, yeah, 100 home runs last year led the country school record. That's not going to happen unless they start hitting about, 10 bombs a game from here on out. Some power will come. Austin Martin has hit a home run in, two home runs? A home run each of the last two games, I think. Dominic Keegan, when he gets out there and gets healthy, he's going to give a little bit of power. Justin Henry Malloy, I think, will eventually have some power. Isaiah Thomas may have the best power aside from Martin, maybe on the team. Harrison Ray has a home run. He'll have a few more. Ty Duvall will. So you're relying on your returning guys, Duvall, Ray, Austin Martin, to hit maybe double-digit home runs, similar to what they did last year, maybe a little more. And then you need a couple more guys. I just don't think they're going to have the depth in terms of power. But, that's a good thing about having a coach like Tim Corbin and having a program that succeeded in different ways. They've gotten to Omaha with more small ball teams. They've gotten to Omaha with, like they did last year, with a team with a ton of power. They can do it in different ways. And I think what comes into play there is something you've seen Tim Corbin try out quite a bit in these first 10, 11 games, and that's being very aggressive on the base paths, a lot of steals, a lot of bunts, a lot of try to string out hits, a lot of hit and run. You're seeing him try a lot of the things because he knows that's what they're going to have to be proficient in. And it's a hit or miss because they've got speed on this team, but they've also got youth, and that's why you've seen some base running errors. They're going to have to clear those out if they're going to win close games in SEC play.
Well, one of the things you bring up SEC play, Adam, and the fact that, like this week, 10 of the 14 teams getting support as far as the top 25 is concerned. And just like we've kind of grown accustomed to, whether you're in the SEC or even the ACC for that matter as well, on any given weekend when it comes time for those weekend conference series, most likely you're going up against an opponent that's ranked in the top 25.
Yeah, and that's, again, where that pitching is going to come into play because Vandy's going to split a whole lot of these first two games of these series, or maybe not a lot of them, but they're going to have a chance to split a lot of them because even if you have Hickman and Rocker out there, there's a lot of good lineups in the SEC. So that's where you're going to have a Jake Eater or a Jack Leiter. I'll be interested to see on down the stretch how that number three spot goes in the rotation because, like I said, Eater was shaky early on. He's got stuff to be a very dominant pitcher, and he was more that way this past weekend. Is Jake Eater going to keep pushing the envelope? Is Jake Eater going to defend that spot? Is Jack Leiter going to push the envelope a little more? It's a good problem to have, but it's going to make some tough decisions on down the stretch. Make no mistake that Vandy is in its best situation if Jack Leiter cannot get into the weekend rotation. Not because he struggles, but because Jake Eater defends that spot. He's a really good number three, again, like he was last weekend. And Jack Leiter's just got to sit in the midweek role and then maybe be a long reliever later in the year when the schedule narrows down because you're going to need more than three good starting pitchers to go deep into the postseason. And right now I think they have somewhere between three and five. We'll see how that number hashes out when they get a little deeper into the season.
Well, you know as well as I do, especially when you still have question marks, if the calendar all of a sudden turns into mid-April And, you know, just when you start really getting serious about, okay, postseason play just around the corner, where do we stand as a team right now? Tim Corbin and that staff not afraid at all to make some necessary changes. And by that point, when you get into April, if you're a true freshman or whatever the case may be, you're really no longer a freshman with all that experience behind you. And that's why if you prove yourself, Tim Corbin is not afraid at all to elevate your role on the team.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those situations, a good instance of that is at catcher. So Vandy came into the year with Ty Duvall, one of their two catchers coming back from last season. Then they had Dominic Keegan, who they felt like was going to be one of their two, he's one of their better hitters, so he's going to be one of their two catchers, or maybe play first base. Well, they just used C.J. Rodriguez, the freshman, as kind of a fill-in because Duvall and Keegan were both injured early in the year. Well, C.J. Rodriguez comes in, hits over 300. Right now, he looks like likely the best of the three catchers defensively. So now that Duvall is back and he's catching some, that's fine. There's two catchers. You need two. As Keegan comes back, do you put Keegan at first base and go with Duvall and Rodriguez, or do you say, hey, we need other guys at first base, let's put Keegan and Duvall at catcher as the original plan? Of course, if you do that, then you're taking maybe your best defensive catcher out of the lineup. And if I know anything about Tim Corbin, if he finds a catcher that's really good defensively, it's not in his nature to pull that guy out. He wants defense. He especially wants it behind the plate. And so, again, that's where you have two spots and three guys. And maybe the best solution is to push Keegan at the first base. But there's so many of those instances where they're going to have to put the puzzle pieces together throughout the first month of the season or over the next month of the season to figure out what fits best, because you can't play 15 guys, and right now that's sort of what they're doing.
And it's an interesting thing, too, when you look at the fact the first three games, when you're evaluating what the Commodores had pulled off the first three games, what they needed to work on, needed to eliminate walks from a pitching staff standpoint, and you needed to improve your fielding. I mean, you look at this team at 9 errors in the first three games. Since then, in the last 7, just 1, and that occurred last night for Vanderbilt against St. Louis.
Yeah, and you know, a little bit of that is Carter Young, the freshman shortstop, getting more comfortable both at the position, but also comfortable with Harrison Ray, his veteran second baseman. That will only get better and better in time. Carter Young's a very good defensive shortstop. He's actually hit the ball really well, too, but I think they found something in shortstop there. But, you know, a lot of that is Spencer Jones, who was at first base. He had, I think, 3 errors early on. They've moved him out, used him a little more as DH. Some it's still first base, but more DH until he can kind of grow into the position as a first baseman. And that's where they've got, again, Justin Henry Malloy, Keegan coming back from injury. They've got some options there. I don't think you ever know exactly when things click and you say this is the lineup that you need, but it's a good indication when the errors drop to close to 0, and that's what they've been lately. Once you figure out, especially with Tim Corbin's mentality, once you figure it out defensively, then you just tweak it for offense after that. But you don't want to tinker too much. Once you figure out a team that can defend, that can field like certainly they could last year, and they have a little bit lately, because you don't want to have any errors behind those pitchers. You're going to get to the post deep in the postseason with pitching. You need to have the fielding to support that.
Adam Sparks with the Tennessean joining us. Let's switch gears. Just talk about a master plan. I threw this out. Are we talking about a nice house in Williamson County where you open up the doors, everything fully developed, you got all the bells and whistles, or are we talking about a stage in Hollywood where you're filming a movie and you've got a setting there and you open up the door and you see the planks holding up that wall? Is there substance here or still just a lot of talk?
Well, the master plan's not out yet, and they used a different consulting firm to come up with that, the facilities plan. The strategic plan, which they released yesterday, was what they said it would be. So I'll give Candace Lee, the interim AD, credit for, she said for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to come out with a first step plan, a strategic plan. It'll be general. It'll be an outline. And they did that. But when it came out, I think it almost hurt Vanderbilt in terms of PR that there was so much breadth and depth to it. There was breadth to it. There was size to it. It was 17 pages and no depth. It was, you know, it was a lot of just common statements. I can sum up their 17 page athletic strategic plan in like a sentence or two. We're going to try to do better. Our goal is to do better. Because if you read through there, it essentially says in flowery language, we're going to grow the fan base. We're going to sell more tickets. We're going to win more games. We're going to hire good coaches. They don't say it in simple terms like that, but that's essentially what it is. And the fact that it was so enormous and so, I guess, seemingly comprehensive that you could kind of scratch your head and thought, took a year to come up with that. I know there's step 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but why even release that and put on the idea that this is, you know, this is something that we're following? Of course you're following it. It's just common language.
I mean, Adam, the ridiculous thing about this is the fact that I've thrown this out since we've been visiting with each other since 2014, and the fact that, how about improving your marketing, improving sales? You know, because the people I speak to that own a degree, earned a degree from Vanderbilt, they get the phone calls from alumni affairs all the time. How about giving the students some valuable experience, real life experiences, by, you know, putting a few as far as internships on board and making phone calls to all these businesses with no ties to Nashville, no ties to, you know, what Vanderbilt life is all about. Being able to sell 2 or 4 or 8 season tickets, use them for incentives for the employees. And if they don't want to go to a particular game, use them to and give them to underprivileged kids. I mean, how difficult is this? And you have to put together that as a plan. I mean, hello, this should have been going on 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah, there's obvious questions of if this is your mission statements or whatever, what were the mission statements before? There's obviously for years been issues with fundraising over there for athletics for a number of reasons, but think about it like this. Again, I know this is a first step, and Candace Lee said this is the first step. It's just a strategic plan, then there'll be an action plan, and there'll be a master's facilities plan. But think about if you're a booster. You have money, you invest money in products, in companies that you invest it, you want to know where your money's going. If you sit down and look at this plan, if you're looking to invest in a company, they say, hey, we've got a plan, here it is. We're going to nurture community outreach, and we're going to sustain a winning atmosphere, and we're going to encourage growth. What does that mean? You want me to invest my money in sustain a winning culture? That's not – I know that's what strategic plans are. They're this flowery language that says nothing. But that's a problem. Don't use that. Don't go with that. Don't promote that, because that doesn't really say anything. The next thing that needs to be said is something that means something. And I'm sorry, that just strategic plan, it was too big to say nothing. If it was small and said nothing, that's fine. It was too big to say absolutely nothing, and that's what it did.
Well, the other part, too, and, you know, and this goes back, you know, a good 20-plus years. I mean, for example, you look at a fan base like at Alabama, at Auburn, at Georgia, whatever. You know how many fans buy tickets at these schools that have never set foot into a classroom on these campuses? The bottom line is you have the sidewalk alumni. And about the past 20 years or so, I don't think those folks have felt welcomed as far as, you know, being a part of the Vanderbilt experience.
Well, and see, and that's what hurt Vandy in that release yesterday, because, you know, I was having a conversation with another reporter yesterday about this. Said, what if Auburn or Georgia or somebody had released the same athletic strategic plan yesterday? People would have looked at it and said, okay, so that thing we built 6 months ago, that goes under this category. And that other thing that they've been talking about that we know is going to happen, because anytime they say we're going to do something, it comes to fruition, that's in this bucket over here. And there's a belief that, okay, this is just a general outline of stuff they've already done and they're doing and they're actively doing. But because Vandy has the history of not following through with action, you just don't believe it. It's just a whole bunch of words. I mean, I felt a little sympathy for Candace Lee last night, who's been in the interim AD position for all of 3 weeks right now, and she kept saying over and over, today's about words, but now we start action. She may be right. I know she wants to be right. I know she wants to mean that when she says it, but people have heard similar language before, and it hasn't come to fruition.
But so here's the thing, though. She's had some power, though. Is it fair to give her the benefit of the doubt, knowing that she still had some opportunities like these things that I just suggested to be able to implement those things behind the scenes over the past few years?
Yeah, it's, I know Candace has said, she's had bosses and she's followed whatever the plan is of those above her. She mentioned that in a feature story had about a week or two ago. She comes from a military family. You're given orders, you carry those out. But she was not in charge under David Williams or Malcolm Turner. So I think, the truth's in the middle. She certainly wasn't, an intern for the past, decade.
I mean, I'll give you an example.
She had a hand in a lot of these things.
When I was at Tennessee State, we needed a scoreboard for Hell Stadium. Was it underneath my umbrella as sports information director? Absolutely not. But am I capable of pulling that off? Absolutely. And we did, and of course everybody else took credit for it, but that's all right too. At least we got one. And the bottom line is, if you're getting paid to be a part of that athletics department, just because it's not necessarily under your umbrella doesn't mean that you can't do some things and create some ideas. Doesn't have to cost millions upon millions of dollars to get some things moving along, if you know what I mean. I get the impression everybody plays it too safe. Where, go about their business, go unnoticed, that way they keep getting paid.
Well, and there is, that brings up the positive thing about yesterday's release, is that they said, okay, there's going to be a locker room renovation or upgrade, the way they said it.
That's been talked about for, how long has that been talked about?
Yeah, and Candace Lee, now at least they put a time on that one. They said before the start of the 2020 season, and they put somewhat of a number. She said it will be less than $5 million. And by the way, if it's under $5 million, that means you have a lot of room to, you can do it for $1 million. You can do it for $2 million. Basically, whatever money that you already have and whatever money you can come up with, that's what the upgrade is. It's a general upgrade. So you could just give everybody a new locker, and that's not $5 million. So it's a small project, but at least they put a time on that. 2020 season, so August, September of this year, they get that done, okay, that's something. Then you move on to the next one, but that should have been the announcement, or that plus a very small outline, not all the stuff that they released yesterday that said very little. Just do small actions and then show those actions. The words, just people aren't buying them anymore.
I keep saying that Vanderbilt and any institution out there that's along these same lines should adopt Toby Keith's song from the 90s, a little less talk and a lot more action.
You want them to play that like at the...
No, I don't even want them to play it. I want them to live it, breathe it, and every day walk that walk. That's what I want them to do. Look, I have no dog in the hunt. I didn't go to school there. I just, if you're like me, anybody who's, and I look back like the Mike Organs, the Maurice Pattons, all those names, the Joe Biddles of the world, who have covered so many events for 30 plus years, they've heard these same, these same things over and over and over. And the worst part, the fans have been told these things over and over and over. And they don't want to hear any more words. They want to see the action part.
Yeah, and that's funny that you say that, you list those guys, because I've been on the Vandy beat for, 6-7 years now, and I think I see things like plans and announcements and these sort of things different now than I did 4 or 5 years ago. And that's when you've been on the beat long enough and you hear more and you talk to more people, and then you read and hear about the history of plans falling flat before, you start to become more skeptical. And, Jeff Lockridge, who was the Vanderbilt beat writer before I was, he had a funny little tweet at me yesterday where he said, something along the lines of, I've got some of these stories about these plans. I wrote them in 2010. You can just copy and paste them and change the date. People know they've been through this before. I still think that it's the fault is more the university side and not athletics. I think athletics wants to be Stanford or Duke or Wake Forest or Georgia Tech. I think the university, the campus side, wants to be Harvard and Yale. And that first group that I said can compete in the SEC in football and basketball and so on.
If you want to be that, then join another conference. I mean, that's right. The bottom line. If that's what you want to be like Swanee. Swanee left back, I mean, decades and moons ago. And same kind of conference records, too, in so many ways, looking back. But if you want to be that, then get out of the SEC.
I think that's the campus side. The athletic side wants so bad to get the resources to compete at that level, and especially football. And it's just, I don't think they get the support of the university, either in planning or resources or so many of those other things. And that check still comes from the SEC. So I guess on the university side, if you're looking at it from a pure practical sense, if you're getting paid to not work or not perform as well as everybody else, but you still get paid the same salary, I guess you keep doing it. And I think that's the way they look at it.
On this note, I'll say five words. Thank goodness for Tim Corbin. I'll leave it at that. Adam, let everybody know again the best ways and the different ways to keep up with your coverage.
In print, The Tennessean, online, Tennessean.com, and on Twitter, at Adam Sparks.
Adam Sparks, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon. He, of course, the Vanderbilt beat writer for The Tennessean. Still coming up this hour, chance to talk some NFL Combine, free agency, collective bargaining agreement. We're talking about a 17-game regular season schedule. Could be happening in 2021. All that and more still coming up this hour right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Looking good right now here through Brentwood, 65 southbound here at Concord Road, all the way down into Williamson County, Murfreesboro Pike at Night Valley Drive at one of the latest wrecks. We saw a crash in Hermitage tying up Lebanon Pike at Jacksonia. It's just busy 40 east now as you pass the 840 headed back out towards Lebanon. Hey, Donut Distillery in East Nashville offers delicious mini donuts, famous whiskey glaze. Go by and see them now at Donut Distillery, 311 Gallatin Avenue there in East Nashville. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hey, this is George Plaster. I don't pretend to know everything about printing, but my buddy and former BGA classmate James Warren does, and he should. He's the owner of Sir Speedy Music City. Let's talk a little bit about mailing, because that's important.
It is, George. So a lot of people use mailing to get in front of customers, direct mail. We've got At the end of the year, there's always the big mailers that go out for insurance companies and that sort of things. But we see that mail helps people get in front of their audience. You'd be surprised at how many people actually open an envelope or look at a postcard when it comes to their house. And we can do it cheaper than you can mail it.
And you can do it well. Give people the particulars, phone number, website.
We're at 615-832-9511. Our website is sirspeedymusiccity.com. You can reach us at print@sirspeedymusiccity.com.
And as always, when you go in there, you tell them Plaz sent you.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Scott, the most important question you're going to get all day. Do you remember bumping into me at Whole Foods about 4 years ago?
What? Do I remember 4 years ago in Whole Foods? You know, vividly.
Just say no. It's fine.
You probably thought it was Derek Mason. That's why the Vanderbilt football player.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Geigen Cole Hall Studios. On tap tonight, brought to you by Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. First, coming your way tonight, Vanderbilt women's basketball, 6:20 as far as the pregame, with tip just after 6:30. Vanderbilt on the road taking on LSU, last road game of the year for Vanderbilt. They're 13-14 on the season, 3-11 in conference play. As they go into Baton Rouge, LSU on the year 18-8, 8-6 in the conference. And then on Sunday, it's the regular season finale, as Vanderbilt will be at home taking on 15th-ranked Kentucky. Kentucky on the year 20-6 with a 9-5 conference mark. That game, a 1:05 start time, which means pregame coverage getting underway around 12:50 or so on Sunday afternoon. Also tonight, downtown Nashville, huge game for the Nashville Predators as they take on Calgary. Both of these teams, two consecutive wins each going to this game tonight. Puck drops just after 7. Also, we're talking about the two teams that are in the first and second wildcard spots in the Western Conference. Calgary on the year, 72 points. Nashville at 70. Nashville, by the way, tied with Winnipeg and Arizona, also with 70 points each. So you see where if you're Nashville with a win, now you're tied with the Flames. Plus, you've got two extra games that you have not played because the Flames have played 64 contests already, two more than Nashville. So a lot of things in play tonight as far as this one. A win by Calgary would increase that lead over the Predators by 4. So something to watch out for with regards to that contest tonight. Don't forget, Vanderbilt baseball back in action again tomorrow, starting a 3-game series at home against Hawaii. 4:15 for the pregame, first pitch just after 4:30 as far as that game is concerned. Coming up on the other side, a chance to talk some NFL Combine, NFL free agency. The collective bargaining agreement now has been sent to the players after being voted on and approved by the owners. So we could be looking at not 12, but 14 playoff teams this year, and additional set of 16, but a 17-game regular season starting in 2021. All that on the table now as the players are trying to do what the owners have already done to approve the new CBA. We'll get into this conversation with Alan Bell on the other side. He's with CBS Sportsline. This segment, On Tap Tonight, brought to you by Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. And here's the thing. If you're looking for the ideal destination under one roof for bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment, and you can keep up with your favorite teams on the TVs located throughout as well, check them out, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee. One of the things you can count on is the fact there's a location near you. Great for birthday parties, fundraising events, and more. You visit their locations, by the way, Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, which includes bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also with laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. For more information, you can go online at strikeandsparebowling.com. All locations open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Good afternoon. It is still very heavy out here on 65 down into Brentwood. They're moving a stalled vehicle on Concord Road right at I-65 there in the Brentwood area. Traffic's really busy, 65 up to Madison right now. Lafayette Street at Lewis at South Nashville on a crash with injuries. And it's also still very busy, 24 as you head out towards Murfreesboro. Hey, the Music City Irish Fest kicks off March 14th. Check it out, MusicCityIrishFest.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon. Sunny with a high near 45. Tonight, a chance of rain and snow between midnight and 5 a.m. Increasing clouds with a low around 33. And tomorrow, a chance of snow before 8 a.m. Partly sunny with a high near 46. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Just a reminder, coming your way at 6:20, pregame coverage with tip just after 6:30. The Vanderbilt women's basketball squad on the road taking on LSU. All the action right here on Nashville Sports Radio. But right now, chance to talk some NFL, combine, and more. Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. Alan, thank you again, as always, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, buddy. I appreciate it.
Hey, let's start with the collective bargaining agreement. And I was throwing this out earlier in the show. You know, for the veterans, the Aaron Rodgers of the world that do not want a 17-game regular season schedule, there's more have-nots than haves with regards to the players. I don't see the new CBA failing. What are your thoughts?
Yep, I completely agree. It's not going to fail. Like, put it this way, two ways you could explain. One, the NFL knows what they're doing. They pit the players against the players. And really the line of where this have and have not is about $4.5 million per year. So you've got players like Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, J.J. Watt that are saying no, well, they're above that line. But you know what? There's only about 15% of NFL players that make over $4.5 million per year. 85% of them do not, and they're going to see a financial increase in this. It might not be this one. It might be, you know, hey, let's ratify a couple things on page 4, page 6, page 10. But it's going to go through. You're exactly right.
The other part of it, too, the fact that not 12 but 14 playoff teams for 2020, and certainly with regards to the owners, how you know this makes sense, and the fact that as soon as the yeses are counted, you know they're going to go to the networks and say, okay, now we're getting an extra extra team, which means an extra game opening weekend as far as the playoffs are concerned, which means more money for the owners.
Yep, exactly right. And that's why this has to go through, at least on their part, is because it is more money. And it's all about TV. It's all about these TV rights, these deals. That's where the big money is. So, yeah, I mean, this thing's going to happen. You know, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Your thoughts, though, are you – I mean, I see the message, and, you know, you certainly – there's a reason why – because it's not like it's running out before this season. I mean, it's everything's still in place. But I think that the NFL wants to send the message that we're united in the direction that we're going. We're also showing the fact that there's a labor peace between the owners and the Players Association. It's more of a PR message than anything else.
Yeah, you know, I think you're exactly right. You know, and I think that, in the past couple of years, in terms of, the player protests and the kneeling and everything, I think that was a wake-up call for everybody that, you know what, this is the golden goose, and, let's all kind of move forward together and keep this thing going, because there's just so much money on the table for everybody. So, you know, that's why you see this is not a bad deal for the players, you know, comparatively, you know, to other CBAs where the NFL really would just force feed them nothing and make them like it, right? Like, this one has some good stuff, you know, for the players in it. So, yeah, I mean, it's just going to come down to a majority of the players are going to benefit from this, and that's why it's going to work.
The other part, though, and I haven't really seen much reported on this, which concerns me, because, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years since the announcement came out of New York that the NFL has this goal of $25 billion annually, if we're talking about a 17-game regular season schedule, and you and I have discussed this, you're not going to get that from 16 to 25 with U.S. dollars. One of the ways to get there, let's see, we can play games in Vancouver. We can play in Toronto. We can play additional games in Mexico. We can play in Germany. We can play more games in London. You see where I'm going with that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, the NFL, you know, has had plans on the table to bring, the game to China. You know, and obviously there's...
That's not going to happen right now.
No, it's not happening anytime soon. They've got some pretty serious situations. But to your point, I mean, that goes to show that, I mean, you're exactly right. Like, you know, for them to reach that target goal, you're going to have to expand. So, you know, one, they're expanding what they have, you know, here in the U.S. in terms of the games, in terms of the playoff and the TV. But that's not going to get you there alone, just like you said. So you're going to have to expand. We're going to see more games that are in London, more games that are in Mexico. And like you said, you know, in Vancouver, in Germany, you know, anywhere that they can bring the game. And you know, kind of the crazy thing to think about is that they could do it. You know, there's so much more expansion when you start talking about globally. There's a lot of money out there, and they certainly want to get their hands on every piece that they can. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to continue to bring it around and evolve it. I mean, they're not going to stop. The NFL's not going to stop making money. I can assure you that.
Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline joining us. You know, here we are, 20-plus free agents as far as the Tennessee Titans are concerned. You can look at it as the glass half full or half empty. If you're pessimistic, I mean, look, it only takes one team, you know, and I was throwing it out casually earlier where I'm passing by Alan Bell's table and I'm saying, like, Arizona wants you. And that's all I'm going to say. And as I walk to the bar or to the restroom or whatever, the bottom line is it only takes one other team out there willing to pay you additional dollars to all of a sudden make you more interested in leaving Nashville and leaving the Titans than staying.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think that's what, you know, makes this this situation so interesting for Tennessee, is because, like you said, one, you've got a lot of free agents that are on the line. Two, many of them are big names, but you can't really make, you know, a ton of decisions until you get your quarterback and running back situations, you know, figured out. And, you know, not only do you have to figure out QB1 and, you know, running back one, but you're going to have to figure out who's your backup quarterback and your backup running back if they get rid of Deion Lewis. So, I mean, they have decisions all across the board that, you know, we're going to start to see how it's going to play out. You know, I think the big decision obviously is going to be, you know, Tannehill at quarterback. What do you do there? The Brady rumors, et cetera, et cetera. But they're going to have to make some really tough choices because not everybody can come back. They don't have the money to do it. And then, you know, then you start playing the musical chairs game of, you know, is it a Conklin? Is it a Logan Ryan? John Robinson's got some tough decisions.
Well, I mean, think about this, though, too. I mean, remember Roger Saffold. I mean, it took a while for him to all of a sudden make sense as far as the left side of the line. What if you're talking about no Jack Conklin, no Dennis Kelly? So, great, you got Tannehill and Derrick Henry back, but if you can't find a way to put together a cohesive unit as far as that line, does it even make a difference?
Yep, see, you know what? And that's the biggest thing in terms of, you know, signing running backs. You know, everybody says, you know, don't pay him big money. It doesn't work out. And history certainly shows that it hasn't worked more than it has. But you just nailed it right there. It's not like a magic fairy comes down and says, oh, well, running back has money. It's not going to work. No, there's a tangible reason. And most of the time, it's offensive line. You know, you look at, you know, the Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott. It's offensive line. You look at, I mean, just at any of these examples, Todd Gurley, the Rams, their offensive line, that's their biggest problem. So, you know, it doesn't make sense to sign, you know, these guys to big deals, but you have to cut your O-line, essentially your, you know, tangible, you know, half reason for them being that good. It's tough, man. I mean, there's a reason why these guys, you know, get paid big bucks. They got to make some tough decisions, and I'm really, really interested to see how the Titans do this because they've got multiple of them. They might have the most difficult decisions to make across the NFL in terms of free agents.
Alan Bell joining us so far early on as far as the NFL Combine is concerned. You know, one of the storylines that I'm interested in and seeing how this plays out as far as the draft, where Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma ends up. I mean, do I see him as a starting QB necessarily in the NFL? Not at this moment. But I certainly can see how his skill set would be, you know, perfect to help an offense be even that more creative.
Oh yeah, you know, and you know, he's going to be one of the most interesting names in the draft because you're exactly right. You know, if his stock starts to fall, which it doesn't appear that it's going to by any means, but you know, if you could draft him, you know, in a third, fourth, fifth round, you know, whatever.
See,
you know,
I was thinking the same. Down, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, that's a great. That is a great, you know, backup quarterback, you know, situation to have. Man, I find that one of the most intriguing. I find that more intriguing than, you know, Joe Burrow and the Bengals. What do they do? It's that situation right there.
Alan, as always, we appreciate you. Remind the listeners again the best ways to keep up with your coverage and what they can expect also when they go to sportsline.com.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we're all in, obviously, in terms of, you know, NBA and college basketball, getting ready for conference play. XFL, our expert, RJ White. Yeah, there's been 12 games in the year so far. He's 11-1 against the spread. He's crushing it. So whatever your sport is, go to sportsline.com, click around, check it out. I think you'll do it.
Hey, we appreciate you. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be in touch soon, Alan. But as always, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
Thank you. That's Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. You can find all their work at sportsline.com. We'll be with you until 6:20 when we turn things over to Vanderbilt women's basketball tonight. Their final road game as far as the regular season coming your way. 6:20 for the pregame tip just after 6:30 as Vanderbilt on the road taking on LSU. Coming up just after 6, we'll check in with our good friend Will West over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML talking Tennessee Vols, SEC, and more with him. As always, we appreciate you. We know you have choices each and every day, and we appreciate you making our show and our station a daily destination. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It is still very heavy out here on 65 down into Brentwood. They're moving a stalled vehicle on Concord Road right at I-65 there in the Brentwood area. Traffic's really busy, 65 up through Madison right now. Lafayette Street at Lewis at South Nashville on a crash with the injuries, and it's also still very busy, 24 as you head out towards Murfreesboro. Hey, the Music City Irish Fest kicks off March 14. Check it out, MusicCityIrishFest.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue, and welcome to This Week in Ohio Valley Conference Basketball, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, which reminds you that wearing a seatbelt is always the best game plan. It's also the law. Seatbelts save lives, so buckle up, Tennessee. Every trip, every time. Entering the final week of the regular season, there's a three-way tie for first place in the men's standings between Austin Peay, Belmont, and Murray State. On the women's side, Belmont and UT Martin are tied for first, with Southeast Missouri just a game back. The top eight teams in the standings advance to the OVC men's and women's basketball championships next Wednesday through Saturday in Evansville, with automatic NCAA tournament berths on the line. Visit OVCSports.com/Evansville for tickets and information. Last week, the Eastern Illinois men trailed Murray State by 27 points with 11:30 to play, but then outscored the Racers 40-10 to win 63-60. It's only the seventh time in NCAA Division I history a team has overcome a 7-point or greater deficit in the second half to win. Austin Peay's Terry Taylor is the only player in Division I to rank in the top 15 in scoring and rebounding, ranking 10th and 11th respectively. UT Martin's Chelsea Perry ranks second nationally in women's scoring. Josiah Wallace of Eastern Illinois was OVC Men's Player of the Week, while teammate George Dixon was top newcomer. Austin Peay's Jordan Adams was Freshman of the Week. Belmont's Ellie Harmeyer was Women's Player of the Week, while Murray State's Lacey Hawthorne was top newcomer. SIUE's Michaela Kennard was Freshman of the Week. All men's and women's games this Thursday and Saturday can be watched at ESPN+. Plus. For more info, visit OVCSports.com/ESPN and make sure to follow at OVC Sports across all your favorite social media platforms to get the latest information from around the OVC. This has been This Week in OVC Basketball, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. I'm Greg Pogue, wishing everybody a great week of OVC Basketball.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Oh, wow. What was that?
I think that was a red-tailed hawk. Pretty awesome.
Kentucky is home to nearly 1,000 species of animals, and many of these need our help.
Funding just isn't keeping up.
However, you can help out.
You can help save these species by becoming a member of Kentucky Wild.
When you join, you'll be directly supporting wildlife facing threats across our state.
And there's some pretty good perks for you, too.
To find out more, visit fw.ky.gov/kywild.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. As a reminder, coming up just after 6, Will West over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML, and that will lead up to Vanderbilt women's basketball, 6:20 for the pregame, and then the tip will be just after 6:30, Vanderbilt's final road game of the 2019-20 campaign. And then, of course, they'll wrap up the regular season coming up Sunday at Memorial Gym. So that's where they're saying is they'll be taking on 15th-ranked Kentucky. How about the Memphis Grizzlies, Jay? Certainly Jaren Jackson being out for a couple of weeks. He went down with the knee sprain last Friday against the Lakers. So, you know, back-to-back losses there on the road, Sacramento and the Lakers losing Monday night and then last night to Houston. They're still in the A spot.
But it's tightening up with Portland, the Pelicans right there on the heels. They just need to get healthy. They'll be back in action coming up tomorrow. Back-to-back games as they take on Sacramento at home tomorrow night. And then they get the LeBron James and company, Los Angeles Lakers. That's going to be a heck of an atmosphere Saturday night in Memphis as far as that contest is concerned. Don't forget, Vanderbilt baseball, you know, after the 1-2 start to begin the year 2 weekends ago, now since then, 7 straight wins, improving to 8-2 after the 10-2 win yesterday against St. Louis. Hawaii comes to town. You know, you imagine what the weather's like in Hawaii, and then you go from that to, like, they're already in town, right? So you're experiencing a little bit of the cool. I mean, what is a chance of us, you know, some snow showers tomorrow, or something tonight up until early morning? It's like, welcome to...
they're not in Hawaii no more.
Welcome to spring. All right, 2 hours in, we still have a chance to talk some more football, basketball, and more SEC style. And also some Tennessee Vols as well. Good buddy Will West on the other side joining us from Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.